codes and numbers. We have duality. We have a polarity of left and right, negative and positive, male and female. It's all polarity. And therefore, it has caught us in the illusion of division, when what we really are is unity. And we have this light side and dark side. We don't actually at the level of infinite unified consciousness, but we do within the illusion. And what we call the dark side of ourselves, because within this program we have the ability to express all the polarities of what we call good and evil and all this stuff, which only exist in the illusion of the matrix. And it's the dark side collectively of us that I think has taken this whole thing over. We are actually manipulating ourselves on the level of the subconscious consciousness rather than the conscious mind. We're not sitting around doing it consciously. Oh yeah, we'll create this matrix. It's happening on other levels of ourselves. And I think that we've actually taken over ourselves in a sense. And I'll put it more simply like this. It's very much like the Frankenstein story theme, or the story of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, the Disney movie, where the sorcerer creates something, and then that something takes over. Like Frankenstein took over the scientist, like the Sorcerer's Apprentice took over the sorcerer. And in some way, we have created this illusory world, and then forgotten, or one level of us has forgotten, that that's what we've done. And therefore, we are, a part of us that is experiencing this illusion is in complete ignorance that another part of us is actually running it. And so what we need to get back is this unity that will bring an end to the divisions and polarities that are allowing this whole thing to happen, because without polarities, this matrix could not exist. It depends upon them, just as computers work on sequences of 0 and 1. They're all polarities, they're not unity. And so coming to the understanding that we are one infinite consciousness, by definition, starts to bring together the polarities that will bring an end to the prison, bring an end to the illusion.
Okay, what about, talking about all part of us being the illusion, being part of the illusion, the DNA, the brain, all the stuff that we're relying on in this illusion world to sense with, what part of us, if any, is not part of the illusion?
That which is consciousness, in awareness of itself. Everything is conscious. But I make the distinction in the book and in general terms between consciousness that's an awareness of itself and consciousness that is not. We are still infinite consciousness whether we believe in the illusion or whether we don't. The difference is whether we are aware that we are infinite consciousness or whether we're in the illusion that we are David Icke or Nicole or Bill Smith. That's the difference. And the level that we all have where we are infinite consciousness, that's where we're beyond the matrix. And that's the level to which this third group I talk about is actually connecting and bringing in that awareness and that perception from beyond the illusion. We're going through the book here, Nicole, and there's a whole Hindu myth, an old Hindu myth, which I quote, which basically sums up what I'm talking about in the sense of the way the matrix was put together and we got caught in the illusion of our own making. And the Hindu myth says, human consciousness began as a ripple that decided to leave the ocean of consciousness, the timeless, spaceless, and eternal. When it awakened to itself in this, quote, disconnected state, it forgot that it was part of the infinite ocean and felt isolated and separated. And there was another quote I put in there, is from someone who was talking about the fact that if you forget that you know, then you think you do not know. You do, but you can't remember that you do, and therefore you live in ignorance. And what's happened is that we have forgotten who we are. And this has created the illusion of separation that we're actually experiencing. And it's like, again, what we need to do is to bring back this awareness of who and what we are, infinite consciousness, one infinite I, and drop the illusion that we are a self. separate and distinct from everything else, and divorced from everything else, and disconnected from everything else, but where there is an us and them, because that mentality is what holds the divisions and the polarities together. Once we leave that, and instead of forgetting in the terms of the Hindu myth that we are infinite consciousness, we remember and we start to express it, then all the expressions of division will dissolve, because they're illusions created by our sense of reality. In the end, it's not about what do we do about George Bush, what do we do about microchips. I mean, on one level, okay, yes, and no one's written more about that than me. But if we're going to bring it all to a conclusion, instead of running around trying to put little fires out, we just extinguish the whole deal, then we have to do it at the level that has created the illusion, which is the illusion of division and the illusion of disconnection and the illusion that we are not infinite oneness. That's the division. That's the perception that has created this mess. And, you know, only in a reality based on division and polarity could we have created this enormous explosion of chaos and conflict. You can't do that within unity and harmony, only within polarity, disconnection, and chaos. And so it's in our hearts, it's in our consciousness that this change must take place, not on the level even of, you know, walking down the streets with banners saying, stop the war. That's a physical expression, a physical reaction to a what appears to be a physical problem, i.e. wars, but that's not a physical problem. Physical is just the way it expresses itself. The problem of conflict and war and horror and suffering is an expression physically within the illusion of perverted, disconnected, ignorant consciousness.
So what can you say to the listeners right now that would help them in this moment reconnect to their all-knowing place?
Well, one of the things I talk about in the book is, and I, you know, I'm not sitting on a mountain, Nicole, I never have claimed to be, sitting on a mountain cross-legged saying, I am the enlightened one, I have sussed it. But, you know, I'm not coming from that point of view, so I'm going on this journey also, and I'm learning more all the time, and that's where I'm coming from. I'm on a journey. So the opening line of my first book 15 years ago on these subjects was, I'm starting a journey, maybe you'll come on it with me. And the journey's still going on. But what I found is that one thing is, if you sit quietly and you don't try to shut your thoughts off, because the process of trying to shut your thoughts off means you're focusing on your thoughts, but you just sit quietly and start to observe your thoughts and emotions rather than be them. And if you observe them for a while and you don't judge them, once you judge them you become them. You just listen to them. All this chatter that goes, what is that chatter? Oh, what about this? What about the mortgage? What about the car? Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Oh, that chatter is traffic passing through the computer, the biological computer, the body system, the DNA. And if you observe this, and you get more and more proficient at it, the more and more you do it, you start to realize that you are listening to your thoughts and emotions as if you're listening to a radio program. They are not actually you. And when you then reach that point of observing these thoughts and emotions, the program we have identified to be us, then you start to enter that level of observation, which is consciousness, which is the thought, which is the silence between the thoughts, the silence between the emotions. And like I say, I go into this thing about knowing in the book a lot, because it's vital. There is such a difference between thinking and knowing. When you are at the level of knowing, then you are coming from the point of view of infinite consciousness and awareness of itself, which is all-knowing. Why does the all-knowing have to sit and work it out? It already knows. So it doesn't have to talk about it, think about it. Therefore, it is silent because it just knows. And when you work at this a little bit, it can be done any time. Again, you start sitting cross-legged on a mountain. You can do it sitting on a train or a bus or a plane or sitting in your front room. It's just like daydreaming, but daydreaming with a purpose purpose is not the word, but with the desire to go beyond thoughts and go beyond emotions. And you start to then realize that there are levels of you that are not what you thought you were. Suddenly, the personality of David Icke, the emotions of David Icke, the thoughts of David Icke, the concerns of David Icke, the worries of David Icke, the stress of David Icke, suddenly, you start to realize, hey, David Icke ain't me. It's a program. And what you can then start to do is implant this wisdom, this knowingness of infinite consciousness on the program. And you start to ride the horse. You start to change it. You start to delete from the hard drive the stuff you don't want to keep and start introducing stuff you do. And you stop then reacting according to archetype. And you start to become a very different kind of, quote, personality, because now infinite possibility is becoming more and more the personality, quote, and not the program, the archetype that people fall into over and over and over again. If we're going to, and we are, going to bring about the end of the prison and the emergence of the paradise, the difference between the two is, the programming control of behavior, thoughts, emotions, and perception? Or is infinite consciousness, all-knowing, all-wise consciousness, going to be the arbiter of what happens and what we do? That's the difference between the prison and the paradise. And it's a difference that we all have absolutely the power to bring about within ourselves. So this is why, Nicole, that I've pursued this journey. Not that I've pursued it, because there is this urge within me, this force within me that's pushing me along this road. It's because I realized a long time ago that if we are thinking of trying to turn this global manipulation around on the level on which it's happening, i.e. protests and banners and politics and all this stuff, well, we're wasting our time, because it ain't gonna happen. I think it was Einstein who said words to the effect, you cannot solve a problem with the same level of intelligence that created it. You just go round and round and round and round and meet your bloody tail coming back. We need to get beyond the programmed ignorance that has brought this world about to the level of consciousness, intelligence, awareness, wisdom, love, understanding that can change it into a very different form. Because the level of consciousness or the level of mind that has created it is never going to be able to uncreate it, because it's just as stupid as the level that created it. We have to go beyond that. And that's where I'm heading in this journey. And the new book is a massive step on that journey, but it's only a step. There are many more to come as we understand more and more about the nature of who we are and the reality we are experiencing.
So I guess that was going to be my next question, sort of, what does this mean for us in our lives now, day-to-day lives, like how we can put this into effect? I think you've pretty much answered that. But, you know, I just keep going back to this other question, because if we're all one, and all the dark side is the same one as the light side, then reattaching to that unity, does that not mean leaving behind all the bliss and positive things? I mean, does that all? I mean, isn't it a full meal deal? It's all gone.
Well, all I can say is that when I've been in states of unity various times, the bliss is beyond anything that it is possible to experience within duality. And what we are needing to do is to bring everything together into that unity, so we experience that bliss. And we're not going to experience it as being part unified, part oneness, not that you can have that anyway. We're going to experience at that level what we call happiness. You see, for those, and it's the vast majority, because of the nature of the illusion we live in, if you haven't experienced that bliss of oneness, and it can be fleeting, then your whole point of reference about whether you're happy or joyful has gone. Because, as I say in the book, we, if you analyze it, we judge our happiness by our state of unhappiness. We think we are happy, but what we are is less unhappy than we were before, because we're still in a disconnected state, and therefore we feel that, and it affects us. But we can be less unhappy sometimes than others, and we perceive that to be happiness. It's not. It's another level of unhappiness, but not quite as extreme. And when we're talking about going beyond emotion, we're going to a level of bliss and love that is indescribable in human language. And to do that, we have to, and I say we have to, I'm not sort of saying that we must because I say it, I'm coming from the point of view that I'm coming from. I would say this: what we have to do to achieve that is to start to encompass the polarities into one. So, if someone says to me, "Who are you?" I would say, "I am, and I'm not. I'm everywhere, and I'm nowhere. I'm good, and I'm bad." And start to identify, not with a polarity, but with everything. Then you then start to connect with that level that is everything. Because, again and again, people, I would suggest, confuse good and bad, or light and dark, as if good is good and light is good, and bad is bad and dark is bad. But what you're actually doing by identifying with a polarity as who you are is creating the other one in your reality. Because if you say, "I am of the light," you must by definition, therefore, accept that there is a dark. By believing you are the light, you are creating its polarity. By saying, "I am light and I am dark and I am all in between," you are identifying with unity, not with a polarity. Because it doesn't matter whether it's a good polarity or a bad polarity, it's still a polarity and it creates its opposite. Otherwise, you know, if you didn't believe in the dark, why would you call yourself of the light? You just say, "I am." It just is. Rather than identify with names and, like I say, polarities. It's a completely different way of perceiving yourself, not as a part, but as the whole. And when you identify with two polarities, you bring those two polarities together into one. In physics, Nicole, they have a thing called matter and antimatter. And what they do when antimatter and matter particles collide, they annihilate each other and become pure energy. That's what happens within us when we stop identifying with polarities. I keep saying this, it's the anti-war movement. The anti-war movement is the polarity of the war movement. And so we go on creating these divisions and conflicts within the experience that we think we're having. If we start identifying with matter and antimatter, "I am both," then we bring these polarities together, we annihilate them, and we become pure energy. We become the totality of everything, which is infinite oneness. Identifying with polarity, whatever that polarity may be, creates the duality world in which we are caught.
Hey, time won't wait. Life goes by. Every day's a brand new sky.
So what's next for the program known as David Icke?
To become, Nicole, every day, less and less identifying and expressing the program that is David Icke, and becoming what we all are, which is infinite consciousness. Now that can express itself through the body called David Icke, but it doesn't have to identify with it. It can just be a vehicle for expressing what it is within this reality without identifying with it. And I identify less and less with the person who was born in Leicester on April the 29th, 1952, and more and more with being all that is. And it is changing the way that I'm seeing myself and seeing the world, and certainly as over the next few years, and people will see it in this new book too, it's changing the way that I'm going and changing the way that I'm writing. This is the next stepping stone on the journey, and it's not a journey that's coming from someone who knows it all. It's coming from someone who's remembering, like we all are, what we already know. And I've remembered a bit more, and it's made a more sense of the world for me in the last few months, writing it and understanding it, than the rest of my life put together, to be honest.
Wow. Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything Else is an Illusion. That's the name of the book. And I want to thank you for joining us again on the show.
It's a pleasure, Nicole.
Always a pleasure. And as soon as you remember some more, come right back.
When you remember some more, you tell me as well.
I think we could have the most interesting dinner conversation.
Certainly, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.